has said that the queen of all virtues is patience, steadfast endurance, the ability to keep on, keep it on, in spite of whatever may come out in our path. We keep on keeping on. The Apostle Paul, as he writes the book of 2 Timothy, I have told you on more than one occasion, I am intrigued by farewell addresses. There is a depth of wisdom that takes place during those times. Many times individuals who are ministering to their loved ones and they lay on their deathbed, and death is imminent, will find themselves bending over to catch a word or a phrase that their loved one might utter. The last words. Because they recognize they might not hear the voice again on this side. And the Apostle Paul, was in a dungeon, in jail. He had been to trial on two occasions for preaching and teaching the word of God. But this time, he was under the sentence of death. The only thing that remained to be done was the executioner to do his job. And so in the final moments of his life, expecting at any time to be called by the executioner and to give up his life for the gospel of Jesus Christ, he writes a letter to his son in Christ, Timothy, a young man that was a protege of the Apostle Paul that visited with him throughout the cities of Asia Minor. Observing this stalwart leader in the cause of God, Apostle Paul had made a 180-degree from his experience on the road to Damascus, traveling the crooked road of Damascus, and a bright light from heaven shone upon him, knocked him off of his beast, and he heard the voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" He cried out, "Who art thou, Lord?" Receive instructions from the Lord to go down on Straight Street, traveling the crooked road, but God had to put him on Straight Street. It was an experience that he never forgot. A persecutor of Christians turned to be an apostle to the Gentiles. Just as he tenaciously carried out his duties and responsibility as a persecutor, when he was put on the right road and became a follower of Jesus Christ. He was equally as zealous, if not more, a follower of Jesus Christ, carrying the word of God. And he repeated that scenario on many occasions. He did not forget what he was before he met Christ. And he wanted everybody to know who he was after he met Christ. And so we find the Apostle Paul tenaciously holding on to the very threads of life. One thing in mind, one goal and one purpose in mind, and that is to see to it that the message of Jesus Christ goes forward, even after his death. Now, it's always good to be able to participate and to do your part in the upbuilding of God's kingdom. But it's equally important that what you do don't go to the grave with you, because you want to see the message and the work go on. And so it's highly important that we leave behind someone who will pick up the mantle, carry the mountain. And the young preacher Timothy, as I indicated to you, was considered to be Paul's son in Jesus Christ. Thought about Timothy, the times that they had shared together, the experiences that he had. And he recognized that this young man carry on the message after he was gone. He also recognized the pitfalls, the oppositions that he was faced, and so in his the closing scene of his life, he penned 2 Timothy. In an effort to motivate him and encourage him not to become weary in well-doing. Perseverance is vitally important. As I said, the queen of all virtues, the greatest virtue, the king, is love. But if we don't have the ability to keep on loving, it comes to naught. Whatever the virtue may be, we must be able to keep on keeping on, else it fizzles out into nothing. Now, Paul recognized that the young man, due to the experiences that he had, walking in his path, there would be times when he would want to quit. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? The road gets rough and the going is tough. And all of a sudden you decide it's not worth it. Oh, yeah. I've been there. Paul, what he said to Timothy is also important to us. And so I'm asking that you would turn to the book 2 Timothy. What book did I say? 2 Timothy, the first chapter. The second chapter, I'm sorry. Beginning with verse 1. Paul writes, You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, also entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. That's good advice for us. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Huh? Because we cannot make it successful through this sin-cursed world without Jesus. I don't care how much education you may have, how much money you may have. It all is nullified when it comes down to our character development. The only thing that will carry us through this sin-cursed world until once again we see that glory cloud is our knowledge and relationship with Jesus Christ. So Paul admonishes Timothy to be strong in our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. But then Paul uses three illustrations to teach us about perseverance. He wrote to Timothy, endure with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Now, I've never been in the military. I got too close when I was in the ROTC. That time they had a draft. And if you were not in college and got deferred, plus be a member of the ROTC. A1, you gone. Yeah. But I learned some discipline even in ROTC. And so what Paul is saying, like, endure hardness like a good soldier. That means you have to discipline yourself. Huh? And one thing that you are taught is to follow orders. You follow orders. It doesn't make any difference what it is. If the commanding officer say, take the hill, you looking down the barrel of the machine gun, fire tracers flying all around, men dropping in front of you, you go forward. And so as a good soldier, you don't have time to concern yourself with what I call Mickey Mouse issues. Because if we're going to make it in our character development, we're going to have to follow orders. Huh? And sometimes following orders is far from what you want to do. But our commander gives the order, live a holy and righteous life. As difficult that it may be for us, we follow in orders. That was, I think it was World War II, when the bomb fell down on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Douglas MacArthur signed a treaty with the Japanese brought a close to the war. But there were Japanese out on those lonely islands that didn't get the message that the war was over. And so they were out there, dug into their encampments and holes. So as the Allied forces went, they began to fire on them. So they brought out the interpreters to let them know that the war is over. Surrender. One of their soldiers said, "We shall not surrender. Whether the war is over or not, our commanding officer told us to fight to the death. And unless you bring our commanding officer to give us orders, we're going to fight to the death. You and I must recognize that we are in a war against sin and evil. And if we're going to be successful in that war, we got to fight to the end, carrying out the orders under the blood-stained banner of Plessy Manuel." They searched and they found the commanding officer of that Japanese group, brought him to that remote island, and he came out up there and gave the orders. "So you will surrender now." And they started coming out of the hole with their weapons over their heads. Jesus Christ says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." So we cannot allow anything to deter us from carrying out the commands of our commander. The second one thing that he gave to Timothy, illustration was that of an athlete. Now, one thing athletes do, they practice. You see a boxer in the gym hitting on the bag. You see the runners out there on the track running. The ball players, the whatever position that they are playing in, they are practicing. So when they get out on the field all week long, they're out there practicing, shooting the hoop. Michael Jordan, LeBron James, all the names. They practice. There you go. Huh? They're out there practicing. Help me preach this thing. They're out there practicing till it's time to perform. And they just do by just instinct. Just they make the moves that are necessary and shoot the hoop or run through that hole that's open up for them. See what I'm saying? So Paul says it's the same way. If we are going to practice, we're going to be righteous and holy, we got to practice it. Okay? I'm not going to be a good singer or be good at whatever I used to be good at without practicing. Huh? That means on a daily basis, I got to go through. And you know, habits are hard to break. Good habits are equally as hard to break as bad habits. See, those habits that we have, those bad habits, we practice that on a daily basis, we're going to do that. automatically. The good habits, if we do that on a daily basis, it becomes second nature and automatic. You see what I'm saying? It takes time, as the songwriter said, to be holy. So we got to put in the time. See, it's not enough just to read and study the word, be able to quote scripture and spirit of prophecy. It's not enough. Huh? It's not enough just to pray, as important as it may be. One of my favorite quotes from Ellen White is that when we get on our knees, we ought to pray as if everything depends on God. But when we get up, we got to work as if everything depends on us. Huh? If we attempt nothing, we're certainly to accomplish nothing. Huh? You're not going to accomplish anything by not doing anything. I have to be telling my wife, she's concerned about my overdoing thing. You got it. I say, look, you got to understand that I'd rather wear out than to rust out. Because it'll take me a longer time to wear myself out than it would to rust out. The man, I used to hear LaRucka talking about custodian of the building where at the school where he was over there on Capitol Avenue. Said, what are you going to do? They were retiring the same time. He said, what are you going to do? He said, man, I'm going to buy me a rocking chair, set it on that front porch, and then I'm going to wait on the mailman. The rocker said, man, you got to do something. He said, look, I've been working hard all of my life, and now I've retired. I'm gonna sit on my porch in that brand new rocking chair, and I'm gonna wait on the mailman. He said, "Well, he said, what are you gonna do?" He said, "Oh, I'm gonna go play golf, and I'm fooling around with these raggedy houses. I'm gonna be doing some of that, and I'm gonna go visiting my children and all that." So he passed by there, and each time you see the old guy sitting out there rocking in the rocking chair on the front porch. 6 months later, he didn't see the old man in the rocking chair. Stopped to find out what was going on. He had died. Inactivity will kill you physically. Inactivity will kill you spiritually. Huh? So we got to practice. Put it into practice. And then if we miss it, go back again. If one first time one does not succeed, then try and try and try again until you've perfected it through the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. It's not a one-day situation, a 1 week, 1 year. It's a lifetime commitment that we make to practice. To carry out the orders until we succeed through the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. The next illustration that he makes has to do with the farm. The farmer cultivates the ground. Chops it up, pulverizes the soil, plant the seed, go back, water it, and watch for something some semblance of something coming up out of the ground. And all of a sudden you see some little sprigs coming up. and it goes and nurtures it, goes back and pull weeds out of it, working it over and over again, praying for the rain to come and water it. He's doing that for a reason. The goal is in mind for the harvest. And so he goes back and out in the broiling hot sun or the chill of the winter's blast, he's working the soil and doing what is necessary that the product might come forward. I know Sister Jones knows what I'm talking about. She had a garden over there at school. Yeah. And so it is. If we're going to make gains, we got to work at it in spite of the opposition that we may face, in spite of the hardships and the difficulties. And I want you to know character development is a fragile thing. I used to lift weights when I was back yonder. But those trainers, those guys whose muscles have muscles, pumping iron, huh? It only takes 72 hours. What did I say? 72 hours. They've been doing it for years. Their muscles have muscles. And in 72 hours, they lose some condition. They begin to lose. 72 hours, 3 days. Been doing it for 15 years. Take a look at Arnold Schwarzenegger. Huh? And some of those other bodybuilders and athletes, after they stopped doing what they were doing, to be in condition, the condition that they were, 72 hours. The same thing happens to us spiritually. All it takes is missing church one day, one Sabbath. Oh, I think I'm a little tired. I'll stay at home. It becomes a little bit easier the next week because the devil is going to see to it that something's going to come up to give you that downward spirit. So I don't feel like going out. And then the devil will begin to implant, sowing his seed. You know, hey, that choir, they sing the same old song. I don't like them drums, the way they be beating out there. They just be making a whole lot of noise. Huh? The preacher's preaching too long. It's something that's not going to be right in order to discourage you from coming to church. Now, Paul makes mention about that. Peter makes mention about the manner of some in forsaking the assembling of yourself together. Huh? It's vitally important that you come here. Some say, well, look, I ain't a bunch of the folks out there ain't nothing but hypocrites. I'm sure what you're saying is true. Some of us are. Make sure you're not one. Huh? And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be sitting beside a hypocrite so you can show them how it's to be done if you're not a hypocrite. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, Jesus said, let them grow together. I'm going to separate the wheat from the tares. Huh? And you know why? Because you and I don't know what God knows. Huh? Man looketh upon man with the outward appearance. But God is looking at the heart. Huh? He sees the struggle that person is making and the Holy Spirit is working on the heart of that individual. And transformation is taking place on the inside that you can't see on the outside. So you're ready to throw them out. See? And we need to be examining ourselves. Huh? Self-examination. Because if we were taking the time to examine ourselves, we wouldn't have the time to be looking at somebody else. Huh? The songwriter says, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Another expression I like is there is so much good in the worst of us and so much bad in the rest of us that none of us can talk about the rest of us. Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know what category you in. But the message is, stop worrying about somebody else. Think about yourself. That's what the word says. Let a man examine himself. And if we would examine ourselves using the proper instrument, the word of God, I can look at you and observe you a short period of time, and I can find out a whole lot wrong with you. And you can look at me even a shorter amount of time, and you can find out a whole lot wrong with me. But if both of us turn our eyes on Jesus, huh? If we turn our eyes on Jesus, we veil our face. Huh? Oh, yeah. So Paul gives the prescription for running the race to the end. Hang in there. He gives the prescription to let us know that we got to work hard in difficult days and times, whether we feel like it or not, but to keep on keeping on. And there's a reason for it. Because to fight the good fight of faith, but when the battle is over, we shall wear our crown. No cross, no crown. Soon and very soon, we shall hear the voice from heaven. We shall see the cloud about the size of a man's head, growing bigger and brighter as Jesus Christ returned with the glorious victory. And we all shall be able to be caught up to meet him in the air. Be able to tell the story of how we got over, cast our crowns at the feet of Jesus, see the gates to the city swing open wide, walk on streets of gold. Huh? We worried about trinkets. I'd read a story where man told him, say, look, get your most valuable possessions because we're going to take you out of here. First thing he did was go find his little coin treasure. Come back with his coin treasure. And the angel said to him, you want pavement? Is that what you want to take? Pavement? We are concerning ourselves with the mundane things of this world. Silver and gold. They got streets of gold where we are going. Huh? Walls of jasper. Transparent walls. That was a few guys that were friends. They said, let's do something out of the ordinary. Said, what shall we do? And so they had the big debate. They said, well, let's go to the city. I understand there's a special hotel. And we're going to get us a room. We're going to cow up. That simply means we're going to put our monies together. Old school. We're going to cow up. We're going to get us the best looking, best suite in that hotel. So they go over there. They come in with their baggage, talk to the clerk. The clerk told them, say, well, all of our rooms are taken up except one. And it's on the top floor. He hollered out, we'll take it. We'll take it. So he said, the elevator's not working. Said, we've come this far. They had their little powwow. Said, we've come this far. We ain't going back without having that experience. We're going to find out about this place. Whether it's like I've been told, it is. And so they say, we want it. We want it. And so they began to climb the steps. They passed the 33rd floor of this 100-floor hotel. By the time they got halfway, they said, look, maybe one of us need to go check this thing out. It might not be like we think it is. And yet we coming up with all this luggage and hiking up all these different flights of stairs for nothing. Well, it's fine. They want to say, I'll go. So he climbs the rest of the way up. 50 stories to get to the top. He fagged out there. Called back down. He asked and said, is it worth it? He said, what do you see? Describe it to us. He looked in there and said, I can see the walls are transparent. I see it got gold carpet on the floor. I see they got a fountain of water. They got different fruits on both sides of it. And he said, I said, we on our way up. They took off. Coming up the other 50 stories. They got out the top and they looked. Yes, yes. It is worth it. And they start asking. Who got the key? All of that work, climbing up 100 stories, and didn't have the key to get in. How disappointing will it be for you and me to go through all of the obstacles that are down here and not have the key to get in. That key is Jesus Christ. You ain't going nowhere without Jesus. If you get up, get there, you'll be in that third resurrection on the outside looking in. Oh, friends of mine, I adjure you, challenge you not to allow anything. They used to sing that civil rights song, I ain't gonna let nobody turn me round. I ain't gonna let nobody turn me round. Keep on walking all up the King's Highway. I'm not letting nobody turn me around. Someone needs a closer walk with Jesus. So I encourage you take your stand on the side of the followers of Jesus Christ. The road may be rough and the going tough. Hills may be hard to climb. But when we get there, we'll look around us and say that heaven is cheap enough. The things that we endured in order to get there, not just to behold the angels, but just to behold God's face. Because Jesus made it all possible. Do we have someone today who want to start out, if you haven't started out, on this Christian path? You want to accept Jesus Christ. But Jesus says, no man cometh to the Father but by me. The only way that we shall get from here to glory is through Jesus Christ. You want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, won't you just raise your hand where you are. Praise the Lord. Someone wants a closer walk with God. You don't want to be sometimes up and sometimes down, being influenced by every wind of doctrine. You want to have a steady path moving up the King's Highway. Won't you stand with me this morning in rededication of your life to Jesus Christ, our Savior? Our Father and our God, we thank you for Jesus, who paid the price that we might have life and that we might have it more abundant. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you give us here. Though disobedient we have been, that you will finish the work that you have begun in us. Help us, Father, not to be like the resistant clay. Study resisting and going contrary, fighting against your will. Give us the power to live victorious lives. Then save us eternally into your kingdom. We ask it all in the worthy name of Jesus. And for his sake we do pray. Amen.